Welcome one and all once again to a very special edition of Nerds on the Rocks, or as I've come to know them, me just enjoying talking about stuff that gets me through quarantine every few months, and you folks listening to me ramble for half an hour. I'm coming to you today because I have just finished reading Sonic the Hedgehog Mega Man Worlds Collide, the complete epic. Oh, you're the first part, I think. Worlds Apart is the second part, and hopefully I'll get to that. This has been a book that I think came out in, I think it originally started coming out in like 2016, 2017, one of those years. And I remember picking it up, but it was like mid-series, and at the time, a lot of the comic book shops nearby didn't really carry the Archie. So it was very difficult to kind of backtrack and try to find previous issues. So I just gave up on it, and eventually I found the trade maybe last year, year before, back when, if you remember, I was trying to do a crossover connection podcast, and this was one of those ones that I wanted to touch on. You know, quarantine being what it is, and me having a ton of comic books and graphic novels staring me down, I figured I'd give this one a look-see and read through it, and I am delighted to say that I absolutely enjoyed this. This was a blast. But before we get into the details, I guess, I felt, you know, up at the top of the show, I should give credit to the creative team behind this book. So once again, this is Sonic the Hedgehog, Mega Man, and Worlds Collide. The script is by Ian Finn, and it just has a crap ton of artists, so bear with me. We have Jamal Peppers, Ryan Jampo, Tracy Yargi, Ben Bates, Evan Stanley, Jim Amash, Terry Austin, Gary Martin, Matt Hames, Thomas Mason, Dustin Evans, Stephen Downer, John Workman, Jack Moyet, and covers by Patrick Spezetz and Matt Herms. Yeah, that is a quite a lot of people, but you realize this is a 12-part comic book series, and it deals with a multitude of serious, including Sonic the Hedgehog, and I mean Sonic the Hedgehog and Mega Man are the big two. So, I mean, to kind of get into the story of this, I'll get into the story in a second. I'm just gonna be upfront. Like I said, I absolutely love this, and I think one of the reasons I do, as much as I enjoy Marvel and DC, I do think that we've gotten so far away from the notion of crossovers because they've just become annual events that you just kind of expect them, and they are these big, threatening, human events, and that's what happens here. But this one also remembers that part of a crossover for fans is just having fun with these worlds and these characters coming together, and this book just has a ton of fun with the lore of Mega Man and Sonic the Hedgehog and how the characters play off of each other, the similarities and differences in both their worlds, just, you know, both coming from video games, and just the relationship between Dr. Robotnik and Dr. Wily is just so great to watch unfold on the pages. And that's absolutely what got me through this entire book, was just seeing that the care and love that went into this, but just the fact that they were like, you know what, these characters would play off each other this way, and this is the best possible outcome. This is how this would work. This is how this would be enjoyable, not just to me, the writer, but to the readers and to these characters. So the gist of this ish, this crossover event, this trade, this complete epic, as it says, is that while doing some nefarious means, Dr. Eggman, Dr. Robotnik, and Dr. Wily discover that they are able to kind of interact with each other's realms using the powers of the Chaos Emeralds. And one of the Chaos Emeralds ends up in Dr. Wily's world, and some mayhem is caused. Dr. Robotnik and Dr. Wily form a fast friendship, and I will say that is probably one of my absolute favorite parts of this book, is just their friendship and their dynamic, because you're so accustomed to these megalomaniac scientists in their respective franchises, and getting them together and then having them just be so It's going to be weird to say, but being so positive and reaffirming to each other, always kind of picking each other up and always giving each other credit for their brilliance and their stunning geniuses is it's absolutely fantastic. And they are the oddest but best bromance in this book, and I love how that works. So as they discover this and stuff like that, they create a zone, which is partially based off of Mega Man, partially based off of Sonic's world. So these are two different parallel worlds, and they create this weird anomaly. And a lot of it actually is them creating these weird mixtures of the two worlds, and it's fun. And then coming up with really goofy names, like the zone is called the Skull Egg Zone, which is, of course, based off of Dr. Wily's famous Skull Castle. Dr. Robotnik being Eggman, and zones, of course, a staple of Sonic naming conventions in the video games. And like I said, it is bits and pieces of both worlds, and you can kind of see that when Sonic and Mega Man venture through, it's really fun homages to the video game lore and differences in this segment as well. Like there's one segment where Sonic is just refusing to jump over Mega Man's time blocks because he just does not trust them. He doesn't understand how to like, build momentum or jump off of them. And again, it's just a very small difference between the two types of platforming. But I love that they touched on it, and I love that it made it into the comic books. But yes, like most crossovers, it does start, or at least one of the first encounters is Mega Man and Sonic fighting each other. But I will say I do love how this is done, because if you've played a Sonic or Mega Man game, especially as they've gotten deeper and deeper into yours, you know that there are characters that are very similar to them in appearance. So you have Metal Sonic, who attacks Mega Man, and then you have I forget his name, who attacks Sonic, and then they kind of bait them into each other so that Mega Man and Sonic, they get attacked from a distance, so they don't know who's who. But they are baited into a situation where the two doppelgangers are off, able to trade off positions, and you end up with Mega Man versus Sonic. And it's a pretty good fight, pretty even, with Sonic's speed against Mega Man's abilities and his ability to change weapons. I really enjoy that Sonic is, for the lack of a better ner term, obnoxious throughout most of this. And again, it goes into his personality. He's a very brash, in your face, cool, cocky superhero, and Mega Man is a bit more controlled, a bit more methodical. I mean, he's also robotic, and they play into the fact that like Robotnik builds it out of robots and stuff like that. So it's very easy for Sonic to assume that this is one of Eggman's latest creations. And Mega Man, for his credit, also really does find it weird that Dr. Wily's MO is robot masters, much like him, and he does not, and he reads Sonic as organic, and he does not understand how that works. So, that is the first encounter. They do eventually, figure out that something's amiss, and they form an alliance. And, that alliance stays true throughout the rest of the comic. But what I like is that it's not just Mega Man and Sonic who do battle, and it's not just Wily and Eggman teaming up, because Sonic and Mega Man both have deep, deep, deep benches of support characters to call into. So part of that is Robotnik, well, I should say Dr. Wily and Robotnik coming up with a procedure in which to turn Sonic's friends into roboticized versions of themselves so that they would attack Mega Man and Sonic. So you get Tails Man, you get Shadow Man, you get Knuckles Man, Amy Woman, and stuff like that. The naming conventions aren't that, that great. There is one fantastic joke, because there is a Shadow Man in the Mega Man verse, and then there's Shadow in the Sonic verse. So when the roboticized Shadow shows up, he's of course Shadow Man, which confuses both Sonic and Mega Man when they both say, okay, you go after Shadow Man, I'll get the other guy. And they both kind of go after the same person, because again, Shadow Man. So again, I like when they pay respects to this little the similarities between these characters and some of their cohorts and support characters. Another thing that I really enjoyed about that segment was seeing Mega Man gain all of these various powers from Sonic's allies. He had a Tailwind attack. He had a Rapid Stinger from one of the Chameleons. He gets a Knuckle Claw from Knuckle, and he has the ability to get Chaos Control when he defeats Silver, actually. So again, it was really nifty to see him evolve and get to use all of these powers from the Sonic the Hedgehog franchise. Sadly enough, on the other end, Sonic really does not evolve in the same way because he just doesn't. So he does not get to defeat the enemies and get new powers or new abilities or anything like that. But he does keep his speed and his energy high. And I guess to pay off, we do get the big climax, which I'll get to in a bit. But yes, it's really great. So okay, I mean, I like I said, I love this. I really enjoyed it. But nothing's perfect and nothing's absolute. So one of my I want to say pet peeves, problems. It's very minor in the grand scheme of things. It's a lot of fights in this book are really quick, maybe 2 or 3 pages, if that. And I feel like they get so much build up. I mean, aside from the Tetsuya Sonic versus Mega Man fight and the climax at the end, I feel like they get so much build up and then they're just done away so quickly. And part of me gets it and part of me understands it. Like, they really want to fit as much story into each issue as possible. But there are some encounters I just wish were given more time to really breathe and really get to see how these two work together and overcome it instead of, like, just kind of, like they get attacked, they kind of get down, they figure out a solution, and they win. I would like a bit more back and forth. I'd like a bit more strategy. I'd like, a lot more of these encounters being fleshed out. But again, to get the numerous encounters that they do have in here, and then to get the really the big epic battle where Dr. Wily is able to create time clones, their words, not mine, of the robot monsters that Mega Man has beaten over the years, and just kind of being able to replicate them so that you get this big army of Mega Man allies and Sonic allies versus this ever-grown army of robots. So yeah, I mean that's the gist of the story. So I guess kind of spoilers now. The big climax of this saga is that Dr. Wily. Hold on, Doctor. Okay. So I mentioned before that the romance between Dr. Wily and Dr. Robotnik is very fascinating and fun. But in addition to that, you also have Dr. Light, who is Mega Man's creator, and I mean, in some ways, Dr. Wily's rival, but also good friend. So at some point, they are able to kidnap the good doctor and knock him up. And as any good supervillains do, they taunt him and mess with him and whatever. At some point, he does build a means to communicate with Mega Man and Sonic outside of this giant robot, which we'll get to in a second. And Dr. Robotnik catches him, and he is none too pleased. And probably the darkest moments of this crossover, he actually tosses the dude outside of the floating ship. He tosses him, but intends to kill him. If not for some chaos control by Shadow, I'm pretty sure Dr. Light would have been dead. I mean, granted, it's for a young kid, so he wouldn't have died. But Robotnik straight up murders somebody. And that is one of the areas they do try to differentiate Dr. Wily and Dr. Robotnik. They both respect each other. They both acknowledge each other's intelligence. But Dr. Robotnik in this book has no chill. Dr. Robotnik is just shown as pure evil in this book. And that includes the conclusion because Dr. Wily kind of accepts his fate. And Dr. Robotnik is still trying to screw over his world and Sonic by the end of it. But yeah, I was super surprised that one of the cliffhanger endings was Robotnik just straight up chucking Dr. Light out of, I mean, this space has to have been maybe hundreds of feet in the air, and it was quite the sight. And yeah, Yeah, it was set up in such a way that neither Sonic nor Mega Man would have been able to get to him. But yeah, that's a dark moment. But the actual climax, and I won't give too many details because I do want you to read it, but I do love the fact that, like I mentioned before, that Mega Man is able to get Sonic's friend's powers, and he gets to evolve his power set throughout the course of the series. Sonic, not so much, but Sonic does have a super form. I mean, literally a super form, when he is able to use the powers of the Chaos Emerald, and it was great to see him get that. But it was also awesome to see Mega Man have a super mega form, which is quite a handful. But yes, that gold armor that they give him is just absolutely stunning, and I think, he's charged up. And I love that Sonic basically explains to him, paraphrasing Sonic, is that you could afford to be able to reckless. These things make you near invulnerable. And Sonic just kind of goes to town. And I like that Mega Man takes a second to kind of work through that. Like, he still doesn't understand what it means. And then Sonic straight, he's like, shouldn't have killed you. He's like I said, and they're invisible. And I thought, again, really great. Like I said, I think outside of the initial fight, and even then, I think it had great chemistry. I think Mega Man and Sonic play really well off of each other. It's a classic comedy duo of the straight man and Mega Man, and the kind of humorous and brash Sonic, and they always work off of each other. And it's great chemistry. And in addition to that, it tails is around, rolls around. You get Knuckles here and there, so you get a lot of different supporting characters who come in for like an issue or come in for several scenes that they also get to play off of, and you get to see the different dynamics with that as well. So yeah, I mean, I think it's just so fun to read. But in addition to being fun to read, and it would suck not. Is that visually, it's a gorgeous book. I mean, I think that Mega Man and Sonic just own themselves to 2D art. I mean, that is their background. And just having that brought to life is great. But again, I think coming from a video game background, a fan of these franchises from the video game, seeing all the flourishes in the comics, like the Green Hill Zone, and having the checkered backgrounds, and having the hoop de hoops, and having that weird grass thing, Sonic, that pattern grass where it's not necessarily like all one shade of color. Like I said before, like you had the floating blocks with Mega Man, and like showing how those disappear and reopen. There's the traps for like Mega Man, like the spikes above those platforms. Just seeing that again, they're really great colors. I mean, Sonic and Mega Man again are really vibrant and bright colors and colorful characters, because I mean they're already all through characters. But like the exaggerated facial expressions, the way they draw Sonic's speed and movement, the way they draw Mega Man, not necessarily speed and movement, but his power shots, his take charge attitude, the perverted look of the Skull Egg Zone, where it has pieces of a mechanicized Robotnik and Dr. Wily's face, and then just kind of mixing and matching it. Like you get the first time you're introduced to it, part of it is like green and lush, and literally right next to it, it's like half the lake is frozen with ice and a snowman deemed after Robotnik. And then you have like those floating platforms, and then you have a random hoop de hoop in the air. There's waterfalls, there's like electric currents, and all of these different things. So it's like this weird mash of organic and techno organic environment that really makes the things pop. And again, like they get to have a bit of fun with one drawing all of these fantastic characters, but also, like I mentioned several times now, because Mega Man gets to evolve with the different powers from Sonic's friends, that means you also get to see a ton of variations of Mega Man. And there's this great part near the end where Mega Man starts to use the various powers, and is then going to call back to the specific Sonic hero that he's using the power of. And each one gets, like, it's just a single panel, but each one still gets to shine in their personality. So again, it is really nifty in that way. Huge, huge colorful splash pages. especially once you get to the part where the big battles between Robotnik's and Dr. Wily's minions versus Sonic and Mega Man's friends, and you get dozens and dozens of characters on each page. Some of these covers are absolutely just fun to look at. There's one that's kind of harkens back to classic fighting games where it's like choose your fighter. There's the one that has like kind of like an old X-Men comic where it's Sonic and Mega Man, and like you see like all of their friends around them being crossed out as they're being taken out by Sonic and Mega Man so that they can do what they can. There's the Sonic and Mega Man variant covers, which are kind of like the old covers of, I think, Sonic Adventure 2, with like, it's Sonic and then Mega Man's kind of faded out, and then once Mega Man with Sonic kind of faded out. Again, it looks really nifty. There's a cover of Dr. Wily and Dr. Robotnik, the evil friends variant. And there's covers with them using the actual pixel art from Mega Man and Sonic games. And all of this, there's just so much history to play off of. And the fact that they got that in the books, they got that in the covers, they got that in the writing, it is just an absolute delight to read. Like I said, I love seeing the gold armor and Supersonic. I love how they were able to create this special zone that was part Mega Man games, part Sonic games. And this isn't on the show itself, but if you know me, I love obscure, not obscure, but obscene and nonsensical stuff. And the big bad of this comic book is a giant robot that is modeled after Dr. Eggman and Dr. Robotnik. It is, if you've ever played Sonic the Hedgehog 2, the big death egg that you fight Robotnik in at the end of that game is it's kind of designed after that, but it has the skull face from Dr. Wily's castle, and it has Robotnik's mustache, and it has all of these it has all of these what am I trying to say? Spikes and gadgets sticking out of everywhere, and it is just really fascinating to look at visually. And sadly, it does not get to do much, and I won't necessarily spoil why, but it is kind of funny how this whole dynamic and friendship plays out. And I was just flipping through the pages, and I apologize if you heard that. I was trying to find the actual name of it, because again, the naming conventions of this stuff does kind of draw some contentions between Dr. Robotnik and Dr. Wily, because you want to go first sometimes. So this is the Egg Wily Machine X, which of course Egg is Dr. Robotnik's prefix. Wily is a machine, and an X, oddly enough, comes at the end, which they say is for the crossover appeal of the two of them. You would think of the Egg X Wily machine or something like that, but yes, it is absolutely ridiculous. It's right up there with the Batman Superman composite robot from the first Batman, well, first Superman Batman Public Enemies crossover event back in what, 2006, I want to say. And of course, that was the basis for the animated movie that came out in 2009, I want to say. But yes, it's up there with one of those things that I just love visually, and just seeing how it all kind of comes together, because Dr. Robotnik and Dr. Wily know their nemesis more better than anybody. So this is like their plan. I want to say this is like their plan X or something like that, because they have backup plans after backup plans after backup plans, and it is one of those things that actually, sometimes it can kind of get annoying, but it actually works, and how they dole it out and actually makes sense within the context of the comics. And ultimately, they do almost succeed, if not for their own egos. So that's on them. So yeah, like I said, Sonic the Hedgehog, Mega Man's Worlds Collide, the complete epic. I think it's $30. I forget how much I paid for it, but the listing price is $30. It is absolutely worth checking out if you haven't. I would highly recommend it. It's a great read. It has some amazing art. And like I said, and I've tried to repeat time and time again, I know it's a word that kind of loses its luster after a while, but it is just a fun read, and I think more comic book crossovers need to remember that you can be fun, and yeah, just have fun with the concept. My OU wish for the future, and I know it's going to be harder because they're not under the same umbrella anymore, is that I feel like we needed Super Mario in here in some capacity, and I would have loved to see Dr. Wily, Dr. Robotnik, and Eggman kind of working together because you have two geniuses, and then you have Bowser, who is more of a brute force man, but I think he would have been an amazing addition to this dynamic. So thank you for once again listening to me ramble about something during quarantine. And yeah, once more, just so you get the name, Sonic the Hedgehog, Mega Man's World Collide. Until next time, peace out.